Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Gimel tonight. Let me just go over the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and then a little bit what we need from yesterday's Daf for today. So on the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, 42a, 8 lines from the bottom, Manita Nazir Sheyesh Oteyayin Kol Yom, if a Nazir is drinking wine the whole day, so Eino Chayav Alachad, he's only Chayav for one set of Malchut. It means if the game Hasra at the beginning of the day, and then he kept drinking, so he's only Chayav one set of Malchut. Amrulo al tishta v'hu shoteh. If they kept breaking it up with different hatraot, so then chayav kol kapi chad. He's chayav multiple times. And one way to understand it is the hasra has to be right before the action. So if I give the new hasra, so now he's chayav again. Hayam galeach kol yom eino chayav alachad. If he was busy, cutting his hair the whole day, he's only chayav one set of malakot. Amrulo al tigala, and when it says al tigalach or al tishta, so it has to mean, a little further. In other words, if you do this, you'll be chayav, malakot. And I think some portion would say you have to put hasukli to be over and so forth. He says, then some want to say that if you gave him like the first one, like a thorough hasra, the later ones could be like just by reference. It's a little bit like, I'm thinking like in court when they swear the witness in. So let's say they break for lunch or something like that. So then when the witness resumes,
they remind you you're still under.
Right. So they just admonish the witness that they're still testifying. Oh, so someone to say the same idea here, that if they give a full hasra at the beginning of the actions, and they say, oh, and don't forget, you're chayav again. And that's, we're gone. We're on the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom of the daf. Okay. So he says, and that's where the Arts rule had that. So Amr Lo Altikalach Altikalach Lo Chayav Kol Kapi Chad. Now here's the one we need. 3 lines from the bottom. Hayamitami Lameitim Kol Yom. He's busy, coming into contact with dead people or whatever. Eino Chayav Alachad. He's Chayav once, one set of Malkot. Amr Lo Altami Altami Vumitami Chayav Kol Kapi Chad. They keep giving Hasraos. So then he's Chayav for each one. Now the one that's a little bit of an outlier, and these are the three things that the Nazi is prohibited on, right? Yayin, cutting the hair, and being metam lemeitim. So of the three of them, the outlier is really metam lemeitim, because when you're metam lemeitim, once you're tamei, you're tamei. So why is it that you're even chayav again and again? So turn to Mem Beis Amud Beis. Let me just go over briefly the top of the daf. So the Gemara has two quotations of what Rav Huna says. It's machlokes between Rav and Rav Yosef. Rav and Rav Yosef are bar plukes throughout Shas. They each have machlokes at what Rav Huna said about the Nazir being metamei the Maitim. So on the top line, Itmar Amarabba Marafuna Mikrama Lady Berakatov, he says the Pasuk says Lo Yitama, Shomer Lo Yavo, Laziro Latuma, Laziro Labia. He says, so we think the Pshat right now, though the Gemara is going to have a different shot in a few minutes, that he's saying that Nazir, again, when it comes to being Mitama the Maitim, so he can be Dami through Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, or Tumas Ohel. Those are the three ways the Nazir can have Tumat made. So either he touches the dead person, he carries the dead person, or Tumas Ohel can mean he's with the Ohel of the mace, or he's leaning over the mace, or the mace is over him. Those are the three ways to have Tumas Ohel. So we think the Pshat is like this, that if he becomes Tame in any of those methods, meaning, Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, or Tumas Ohel, and then afterwards, he goes into a house, then he'll be chayav two sets of malchut, according to a Rabbah's view of what Rav Huna is saying. So according to this, so the pshat in the Mishnah will be that the Nazir became Tamei, doesn't make the Tamei made in some way, and then that's one thing, and then he had an Azhara for that, and then he kept going into homes where a dead body was, and he got Azhara, so then he's chayav multiple times. That was the way we think the pshat in the Mishnah would work. We're pointing to Rabbah, the name of Rav Huna. And then, though, on the fourth line, is on Membeis and Beis 42 to be the fourth line, Rav Yosef Amar Hello Kim. It's an interesting turn of phrase that he's like saying Yeshua, like by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amar Rav Huna Afilu Tuma Betuma. He says, no, Rav Huna said, scratch what we said before. Rav Huna says that even the Nazir is Tameh, and then he goes into another place of Tuma. He's Chayiv again and again and again, multiple times. And then he has a proof. Okay, let's slip down to the bottom. Now, 3 lines to the bottom on Mem Beis Amud Beis. Yeah, okay, so again, focusing just on Rabbah's view of Rav Huna. So the way we thought Rabbah was saying that after the Nazir becomes Tameh, he's still subject to a set of Malkot for Tumas Ohel. So the Gemara says, about Tumah v'Tumah lo, but If it's just a different type of tuma, then he wouldn't be chayav said a malka, we think. So because he's already tame. So once you're tame, you're tame. So this is tuma ubi anami hamatami b'koy. So but it's not the same thing with tuma and b. In other words, if the essence of what Rav Huna is saying is, you know, once you're tame, you're tame, what difference if you're tame and then you walk into an ohel, you're a tame and you carry a mace or you touch a mace. So why is one more chayav than another? Just, what? Yeah, we've mentioned two lavim in the Torah, but here the Torah is making a subfacial analysis of the psukim and saying we don't understand what the svara would be. In other words, that's what the Gemara is saying. In other words, that's what we thought the svara was, but we don't understand that alpi svara is what the Gemara is saying. In other words, there are two psukim, you're right, but we don't understand the underlying svara behind the psukim. Okay, so the Gemara says I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, now we're reinterpreting. Rabbi's explanation of Rav Huna. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "No, we misunderstood what Rabbi's version. I'm only talking about Rabbi's view of Rav Huna until I say otherwise." So that Rav Huna didn't mean that you subsequently, walk into a house and then you'll be chayv said a malko in achinami. Lechora, according to this, doesn't sound like you would be chayv said a malko. No, once you're tame, you're not going to be chayv said a malko. He was talking about you walk into a house and you get hasra for these two lavim. Now, simultaneously, you're chayvim for both lavim. So, I'm Rabbi Yochanan kan b'bayit kan b'sadeh. But in the sadeh, if let's say l'mashal he touches two dead bodies at the same time, he's not chayv for two sets of malko. Say again. No. Again. Wait till I finish a few lines, then we'll come. I'll take all your questions. Okay, let me just do a few lines and we'll do questions. Okay, so he says, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kan b'bayit kan b'sadeh. So the Gemara says on the top line of the Gimel and Aleph, b'bayit nami. So the point we're trying to say is, we think the Torah is saying that if simultaneously he became chayav for tuma and chayav for tuma's ohel, he'll be chayav for two sets of malchut. That's what we think is going on. So he says, so the Gemara says, b'bayit nami. But even if he's walking into a house with a dead body there, it's not going to be simultaneous, more saying. Once he sticks his hand in, so then, let's say he's opening the door or whatever, he sticks his hand in the house, he's tameh, he ayel kuli hai, tamehu. So he's not chayev for, hava, for nithas, the ol hameh, unless most of his body walks in, so it won't be simultaneous. So elamar blazar, tziref yado, mishum tuma ika, mishum bialeka. The tzir of gufo tuma bia bahadi adale ka'atu. So the way Reb Lazar, this has got to be Reb Lazar ben Dad, he says that there is a way to do it. Let's say he won't stick his hand out in front of him. He'll put his hands by his side. That's the way the Rush takes it. And he'll just walk into the house. And now everything will be simultaneously. So simultaneously, he'll become Tommy. That's one lav. And become Tommy for entering the Olam Eid. Is another lav. And he'll be tied for both simultaneously. So he says, the Gemara says on line 4, even that way, though, his nose will stick in. In other words, if a part of his body sticks into the house first, so his whole body becomes tame. But he's not over on the lav of hava, al nefesh meit lo yavo, so he's not over on the lav al nefesh meit lo yavo unless most of his body enters the house. So it won't be simultaneously. So Elama Rabba, so the way we wouldn't know this from the words itself, but the way the Rush explains it, and the Arsuel had his way as well, is maybe he'll lean back so his nose won't stick out from the body, and then in such a fashion he'll be able to come in and everything will be simultaneously. So the Gemara says, even then it can't be simultaneous because his toe will stick into the house first, so it won't be simultaneous. So Elamara Papa, we think the pshat in Rav Huna, Rabbi's view of Rav Huna, is that Rav Huna is saying that if the person, the Nazir, is over on these two lavim simultaneously, lo yitama and al nefesh meit lo yavo, if he's over on both his lavim simultaneously, he'll be chayav two sets of malchut. That's what we think his pshat is. And So we thought it would be simultaneous, somehow walks into the house at the same time, but no kimta worked out that it would work out the simultaneous chiyuv for that. So Elamar Papa, Yom Shnichnas B'Shita Tevu Migdal. So Rava says the case is he enters the house with a carriage, like a closet, or I don't know, carriage closet, or Migdal. How does he translate it?
Carriage trunk or closet.
Okay, carriage trunk or closet. He says, and then his friend comes and pulls out the floor. So in other words, he's in this sort of sealed. He's in the sealed compartment.
Says remove the roof.
We are okay, but it's the floor. No,
roof.
It says roof. Yeah, well, Maziva is usually roof. Here they said the floor. Let's just see.
The translation here says roof.
All right, one second.
Of the carriage, etc.
Let me see. Let me see what my thing says here. One second.
Oh, the notes say floor.
Yeah, it's the flooring. Okay, Maziva is usually roof, but here he sings the flooring. All right, everybody hold off for three more lines, then everybody will come in and comment. Okay. So he says, now his friend comes and removes away like the flooring. So I'm thinking Lahabdil, like in Eretz Yisrael, when they bury a dead body, you know, they have like this coffin and then they pull the floor out and then the body, you know, goes into the plot. So he says, the tumu bi bahadiya darikak. Then everything comes out simultaneously. And that's the case we think that Rabba, the name of Rav Huna, is saying that you'd be chayav on both lavim when they're both simultaneous. That's what he's saying, that you could be chayav with. And that would be both simultaneously. Now, the Rush points out it can't be the friend did everything. If you look at the Rush is around 10 lines above where it gets wide. So the Rush says, you have to say he assisted the person who's becoming Tamei. He's not doing an action. So we're looking for somebody to Chayim Malko, so he's got to do something. Can't be totally passive. Okay, now three more lines, then I'll pause. Mar Baravashi Amar. Kigon, the Ayel Shuko says, Barbara Bashi says, let's say he, the Nazir, walks into a house when somebody's in the, like, ghost face. He's like terminally ill. He's going to really die. Benafak Nishmate Adiyati. And then while the Nazir is sitting in the house, so the person dies while the Nazir's in the house. The Tuma Bia Bahadi Adadi Ta'atin. That both the Tuma and the Bia come simultaneously. Okay, let me summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, welcome, Daniel. Okay, so again, the Mishnah said that if you make multiple warnings to the Nazir that, you know, Al Tamin Lameitim, he's going to be chayav multiple chiyuve malchut. Okay, so then the Gemara quoted Rabba, the name of Rav Huna. Rabba, the name of Rav Huna, said that the psukim speak about two lavim. One lav is lo yitama. You know, please. Thank you so much. One lav is lo yitama, and the other is lo yavo. So the Gemara, I mean, I'm going to leave out the havamina, you know, but the Gemara ends up saying that we think the pshat, we think the pshat is like this, that Rabba, the name of Rav Huna, is saying that if the Nazir is over on both these lavim simultaneously, then in under those circumstances, he'll be chayav two sets of malchot. That's what we think. Now, it doesn't fit in with our Mishnah so well, and I don't have a pshat in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, you know, you need to tell multiple times. That doesn't work out with the shtimois with the Mishnah. But that's what the Gemara is saying. So with the simultaneous, so the Gemara says, what would be simultaneous? So the Gemara went through Hulu Kimta. We thought that he walks into a house, and simultaneously he's Tamei, and he's also simultaneously over on the lav of Lo Yavo, not to enter the Olam Eis. But the Gemara says it doesn't work out, because you can't have it. Because a part of his body is going to enter the house first, and he's going to be totally Tamei, and he's only chayav for lo yavo when most of his body is in the house. So that doesn't seem to work out. So the Gemara ends up with two hesberim. So one hesber is that he's like in this shita table migdal, the carriage, the closet, and the whatever, the trunk, and then he's being transported into the cemetery, so he's like sealed off from the tuma. And then the Gemara says his friend comes, but you have to say he assists as well in removing the barrier, in which case the tumas and he's chayav for lo yavo at the same time. Then he's chayav two sets of malchut, and he got hasra for it. And he got hasra for it right before. That would be one case. Or the other case that Mar Baravashi says, a totally different case, is that he entered a house where somebody was ghostes, like in their death throes, but still alive. And then while he, the Nazir, is sitting in the house, the person dies. Then, in under those circumstances, he'll be over on both he'll be coming, he's admonished not to become Tameh, he's admonished not to enter the Ohel HaMeis. Now, let me just get the Pesukim here for 1 second, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. 1 second. Just want to get the Pesukim out. Okay, so it says, Kol Yemei Hazira L'Hashem Al Nefesh Meit Lo Yavo. He says, Al Nefesh Meit Lo Yavo, how does he translate it? He says he should not come near a dead person. But to tell you, Lo Yavo is to enter the Ohel HaMeis. And then it says, the next Pasuk, La Bibli Mola, Kibla Chavto, Lo Yitamah Lahem B'motam. His closest relatives, he shouldn't be Mitameh to them. Those are the two Lavim. Okay, who's a question to us on anything we did so far?
How did we get it with that?
So we let's go back. So we said that we have a statement from Rav Huna. Rav Huna says there are two lavim. So Rav Huna's statement is, let's go back on the top line on Membeis Amid Beis. So Itmar, I'm a rabbi. Rav Huna, Mikrama Lady Beraktov, Lo Yitama, Shomer Lo Yavo, Lazro La Tuma, Lazro Alabia. So admonish him for Tuma, admonish him for Bia. So what do those words mean? So the way the Gemara now understands, there's a circumstance under which you'll be chayav of both when you do both simultaneously. Subsequently, yeah. So, but the Gemara said you're already tamei. So the Gemara doesn't think that you will be tamei again. Yeah. In other words, the Gemara is taking this mahalak. The Gemara is taking you're tamei. You don't get more tamei. So you're tamei. Whatever it is, you're Tameh already. So there's not you're already Tameh. So there's no more. You're not going to be over on the lav now that you're Tameh. So the only way you can be over on both lavim is if you do it simultaneously. That's what we think. Okay. Anybody else have? Right. So before you came in, I spoke a little bit about this. So one way. The way I was explaining it, which is like the simpler way, the way Rashi has it, is the hasra has to be right before the action. So divide it with different hasras, so you can be chai of multiple different times. There's a different one. There's another malach you could do as well. But
so you can't have
what? You can have especially
with the stricter tumah. So the person who is mitameh a second time, I mean.
Wait. Say again what you mean.
For example, a person who is tamei can get more tamei. Or so, for example, nowadays, a person goes to mikveh, but you all have
right. Oh, yeah, I don't need the mikveh, but in other words, let's wait till then, so we'll talk more towards as we get into this. So, okay, let's just hold off a little bit. What's that?
The last bit of the process. What's the action that he did to retire?
So we'll see you in the next Gemara. Wait just 1 second. Okay? All right. Now, I mean, it's going
to
lead into the next one, okay? All right, let's take a look at the Gemara. All right, now we're around midway down the column under the Gimel Mid Aleph, okay? So Tan Rabbanan, Lehechalo. So now the Gemara here is quoting Pesukim by Konim, not Nazir. In other words, there's a connection between Zerus and the Konim. They're both admonished not to become Tame. So one pasuk is Lo Yitama Baal Bamav Lahechalo, that he's a prince in his nation, in his people, the Kohen is Lahechalo, he shouldn't profane himself. Again, this is coming up, the previous Gemara sounded like there's no Tuma until the person is dead. In other words, from the previous Gemara, even though the person's Goseis, but there's no tumor that's going to spread until you have the dead body. That's the way it sounds like from the previous Gemara. So it says, Lehechalo Ashi Yamut. So the Bryce says, Tanakhama says, until the person is dead. In other words, he's darshaning the word Lehechalo as if it means like halal. Halal is a dead body. So until he's dead, there's no tumor. Rebbe Omer, B'motam Yitama. So this is a pasuk by the Nazir. Again, they're like, you know, going, flipping back and forth, but it's the same idea. So it says, Lo yitama la'aviv limola, chibu la'aviv la'akoto, lo yitama lahem b'motam. He shouldn't become impure in their death, ad shiyamut, until he dies. So we don't understand the braisa, and we must be patient. So my benayim, the Gemara says, what's the difference between Tanakama and Rebbe? They both seem to say You need to be dead to have tuma. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan mashma darshini kvinayos. Rabbi Yochanan says there is no difference, and they just darshan the psukim differently. One is darshaning the pasuk v'hei halal, yehalal, dead, and the other is darshaning, you know, tama b'motam. When they're dead, you have the tuma. Reish Lakish Amar Goseis Ikabina. Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says there is a machloket here, and the machloket will be Goseis. We think in the Havamina that he means that a Goseis would give tuma. That's what we think. He says, Mandamar mi lahe falo, afilu Goseis. So if I say, Lo yitma baal be'amav lahe falo, we think lahe falo would even be a Goseis. And the Rush says, the third white line in my Rush, he says, the Shapir Mikri Halal, Kibin the rogue ghost sim lamita. Says, since most ghosts sim die, we could call this person a halal already at the point when he's a ghostes. So according to the way that Reish Lakish is explaining it, the first Manda Amar, which is the Shita, the Tanakam and the Shita Chachamim, Lechora, will hold that even a ghostes gives tumor. He says, Lamandamar Bamotam, Achimurin, ghostes low. But one who says Bamotam, that means you're dead. When you're dead, you give tumor. You're not dead, you don't give tumor. So that would be the machloket. So the Gemara says, so according to the opinion, right, the Chachamim, who says, what do they do with that pasuk of motam, which seems to indicate the other way, that, you know, tumor is only with death. So we buy lay look the Rebbe. So that they'll use for the way that Rebbe himself darshaned the word. Now it's interesting, Rebbe is the one who darshaned the motam above for the tumor from being from death, but he says, look, the Rebbe, the Tani, we learn the Bryce, so Rebbe Omer, the Motam, Eino Matame, that he, the Nazir, can't be Matame to his relatives in their death, of Amatame, Benigatam, Zibatam, but he could be Matame with their Nagayim, let's say, if he's got a father who's Metzora, he can, you know, touch him, even though he'll become Tame, as the Sora is the Navatuma. So, but that type of Tuma, he, the Nazir, is not admonished about. If the father's a Zav, he can also touch him. And even though he'll become Tame, he's not admonished about that other form of Tuma. So the one who says Motam is himself Rebbe, and Rebbe's one who actually makes both statements. So he needs the Pasuk to teach me the Svar. That's what Svar we just said. But how can he use it? In other words, we only use it for one thing. So here we're learning two things out. One is that the Tuma is only with death. And the other is that the Nazir is allowed to, you know, have a contact with people who are Mitzurayim and Tzavim. So, Imkein Limikra Babo. If the Torah only wanted to teach the part about Nega and Ziva, so it would say Lo Yitama Lahem Demavit or something like that. My Bimotam, Shumina Tarti. So, Motam, so I can learn both Limudim from it. Okay, that part we worked out. So, we said, what does the Chum do with the word Bamotam? So they'll darshan it out the way Rebbe does it. Rebbe darshans it out two ways. Now, with the Mandamar Bamotam, now the other one, Rebbe, learns Bamotam that it's when you're dead, and then you get Tuma, otherwise not. Hakiv Lahechalo. So what does he do with the Pasuk Lahechalo? Lahechalo Lahaki Huda'ata. So Lahechalo, he'll say his comic teach as follows. The Mishainu Mechulal, Yatzezesh Mechulal Va'omeid. He says that's only for a person who's not Makula. So this is referring to a Braisa he had in yesterday's daf. If you look, yeah, this is around 10 lines down on Membeis on the base 42b. So by quotes a Braisa, Kohen Shalom made Munach al-Ktefo, if a Kohen had a dead body over his shoulder, presumably one of his close relatives who he's burying, Boshitulo Meito Umedacher, and then they send to him another one of his relatives or a different dead body, Ben Agabo, he touches the second dead body, Yeholyeh Chayev, I might think he's Chayev for touching the second dead body, Tamalomar Veloy Chalel, Mishin Mechula, Yasseshu Mechula Ba'omeid. So we know Lahe Chalao means if, it sounds like from this Braisa, if Mamish, he's right there, you know, touching the dead body, so at that point, he's not going to be over another lot for Lahe Chalao, So the Mandamar and Lahe Chalao, Hamibai Le Lahe Svarim. So the Tanakama, who learns Mehilahe Chalo, that the Tuma is even when the person is a Goseis, we think. So, but he needs it to teach me in the Sfara that if the Kohen is touching the dead body, the dead body is not going to be over. In Kin Lemekra Lahachel. Mehilahe Chalo is something not tarti. So again, the same idea that he has a diuk in the word that we can learn two things out from it. Okay, sure. So we have the Machloket. The way we understand the Machloket right now is the Tanakama holds that indeed, a Kohen is admonished not to come into contact with even a Goseis. In other words, because he'll become Tame from the Goseis. That's what we think. And according to Reish Lakish, according to Rebbe, that's not the way it goes. So the Gemara says Mayface. So this we ask Kasha against this Kasha is against way the Reish Lakish, the way he interpreted the Braisa. He says Adam Eino Matame Elach Tisei Nafsho. A person is only gives tuma when he's dead. But Afil Meguyad, even if he's severely wounded, but Afil Goseis, even if Goseis, he doesn't give tuma. So that doesn't sound too good for the Tanakhama the way that Reish Lakish explained it. So, but the first Lamanda Amar, one second. Right. So the way Reish Lakish understood the Heichalo, it meant that we thought it meant that even the Goseis gives tuma. So he says, "Ulaman demar min laheichalo hakatani de'eno matame." So it's Heba now that Bryce is teaching me that he doesn't give tuma. So the in other words, yeah. Yeah, so he means if you look at the Tosfos, the third white line, in other words, you're saying Tanakhama holds that even a Goseis gives tuma, but this price is not saying that. So that's what he's saying. So, but the price says he doesn't give tuma, so those two don't go together. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara's fallback position to defend Reish Lakish is the same that for tuma, everybody agrees there's no tuma until the person is dead. But nevertheless, the Kohen transgresses for coming into contact with a Goseis. In other words, he's profaning his kuhuna by coming into contact with a Goseis. That's the way Reish Lakish understands the Braita. According to the Chachamim, right. Now, let's just see the Tosfos, then we'll summarize and we'll talk. Okay, the third white line in the Tosfos. Two lines from the bottom. Umehacha shaminan, the Kohen and Muzar al Goseis. So Toso says, from our sugyam, we can deduce that a Kohen is not admonished to stay away from a Goseis. The Kaimalan to Rabbi Yochanan the Gabi Reish Lakish. We have Makloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody's holding nothing till you're dead. According to Reish Lakish, the Chachamim are saying that the Goseis is poison. You got to stay away from the Goseis. But we, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, except that for very few cases. Umiu, Mahadgaris, Abaye Babakom Rabbi Yochanan, Varava Babakom Reish Lakish. So Tosfos says, though, the Bahad, Yabalot, Dolot, his gears in the Gemara is differently. He learns instead of Rabbi Yochanan, he learns Abaye, and Rava instead of Reish Lakish. So it's Machloket between Abaye and Rava is the one who's going to hold that the Goseis is a problem. Ulafizeh, Halacha Turava. And according to that, it's not going to work out so well for Kohen because we pass him like Rava, Lagabi Abaye. And Rava, according to that, Ukimta, is going to hold that Kohenim are admonished not to come into contact with Goseisim. Ula Rava, Fligi Rebbe Rabbanan, and according to Rava, so the machloket is between Rebbe and the Chachamim, Vidlan Alacha to Rebbe Mechaviro, below Mechavi Rav. In addition to which, in other words, the halacha is like Rebbe when Rebbe disputes one person. Rebbe disputes all the Chachamim, the halacha is like the Chachamim. So it's like a double whammy. In other words, A, on the Amara level, we're going to have a Bayi Rava, Lacha to the Rava. And the way, and so Rava, in other words, the halacha is like Rava. Rava understands the Braisa a certain way. And the way Rava understands the Braisa, the Chachamim hold the point is admonished not to come to contact with the Goseis, and Rebbe holds differently. And in addition to which, the halacha is going to be like the Chachamim, the Gabi Rebbe. He says, Nimsa Yehi Kohen Muzar Lagoseis. So according to the Bahag, a Kohen will be admonished not to come into contact with a Goseis. Right, that's going to be problematical. it's going to be problematical. Now, one second. So that's what I have here. One second. I have here. Not this. This is what I have here. Gee, I thought I saw something somewhere. One minute. Here it is. All right, this is it, all I have for now. But I saw somewhere that I don't have more to say at this point in time. Oh, here I do. I got it. All right, he says like this. So it comes out from our sugya that not only is a kohen admonished not to be tummy to a maid, he's asked even to enter a cheder where there's a ghost that's there because he's afraid that he's going to die. And that's the halakha with the Shulchan Aruch is machriya, and the Ramah writes kiyesh lahachmir. The Ramah writes that you should be machmir if you're a kohen, despite the fact that some people are cholik on the Shulchan Aruch and are machir this. Now he gets into a whole shtick of Torah. There's an incident in the Navi where Eliyahu Navi, he restores life to this man. I think the incident that we're a little more familiar with is with Elisha, right? With Elisha, with the Shunamid. But there was a similar story with Eliyahu Navi. So she's going to ask, how could Eliyahu Navi have gone on this dead child of the Ishut Sor Fatih to be Mechayim? He's a Kohen, he's not allowed to be Tami the Maid. So the Shita says that the Yelid was just ghost state. The Yelid was just like in his death throes. He wasn't actually dead. But the Shita regrets and asks, based on our Gemara, it comes out even the ghost state, the Kohen is not allowed to come close to. So in other words, if he's a Kohen, so we just said on a Deraisa level, it's coming out, La Halacha, that the Kohen should not come to the ghost state. So the Shita says that Eliyahu Navi knew that in the end, the child was going to live. So therefore, it didn't have the din of goseis, who was about to die. So mainly, he wasn't choshish for tumah because the whole issue of goseis is from the chashash that he might die. Okay, that's the way the Shita answers it. So now the Bali Tosfot. Now
that's a nice answer.
Yeah. Now let me see. Is this on our Gemara? I'm a rabbi. Yeah. One second. So this Tosfos is in the Gemara in Baba Kama. So he says the Bali Tosfos saying that focusing on Eliyahu Navi's knowledge that the child would live, and they say for that reason, Pikuach Nefesh is Mevatel the Isur to be Metame to Maid. All right, it gets into a whole Shaka Matari with this, but all right. Now, you know, could you do me a favor? I hate to bother you, Yosef, but I'd like to see.
Yep.
No, Yoredeya. Give me Chelek Gimel in Yoredeya. Yeah, Chelek Gimel. Thank you. I just want to see this halakha. Yeah, so he's got it. Let's see. So. Shin Ayan Alex. Okay. So. Yeah, so the Mechaber says, Asurli Kanes the Bayit Sheish Bogoseis. He says, then the Ramah says, V'yesh matirim, v'tov l'hachmir. Well, first, this makes much more sense within the way the Bahag was learning, right? Because the way the way that our Gemara is, that's the sheet of Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan Lalak would be more like Rabbi Yochanan Lagabi Reish Lakish. But it sounds like it's going like with the Bahag. That's the whole thing. All right. This is an interesting idea to just keep in mind. Okay. Now, Abaye and Rabba. And we pass like Rabba. Then once we pass like Rabba, then the halakha would be like the Chachamim. One second. All right. Okay. All right. Who's got questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? Okay. All right. Let's go further. So you have to say that in other words, you have to say he walked into a house where there was a person who was ghost-sized. You'd have to say that was it, and then when the person died, then he ran into problems. That's what I would think. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so now we're on Mem Gimel Beis. Everybody with me? Okay, so the top line. So Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav, Nikta Rosho Shel Aviv, Einu Matamilo. So this is talking about a Kohen. Let's say it's a Kohen. And the father was decapitated, so he's got the body minus the head. So Rav Chisda says, the name of Rav, the Kohen is not, even though Kohen is allowed to be Mitame to Shiva Krovim, but he can't be Mitame to the Shiva Krovim if the body is not complete. By Tama Makra Laviv, he says, what's the Pasuk? Let me get the whole Pasuk. So all these people he can be mitame for. So he says La Aviv, he can be mitame bizmanshu shalem when the body is complete, lubizmanshu chaser, not when the body is not complete. So the Gemara says, Amali Rav Hamnuna says Rav Chisda Elamiata Ka'azil Pata da Rabot. Let's say they're going through a rotten neighborhood, Pachta da Rabot, the plains of Aravot. He says, Upasku ganavi the reshe, and then these bandits come and they chop the father's head off. He says, Hakanami luli tamile. So how is the father going to get buried? He's just in this desolate place, the Pachta da Rabot, and he's the Kohen walking with his father. So Amarle, so Rav Chisda said to him, Meit mitzvah ka'amar. He says, you're talking about meit mitzvah, no? If it's made mitzvah, even the Kohen will be obligated to bury other people. He says, when his father not, even more so. So in other words, it could be, we think, it's getting tricky. It could be a made mitzvah, even though he doesn't fall under the heter of Laviv, you know, you're allowed to bury Aviv. He says, so then the Gemara asks, or Rav Hamnuna asks, made mitzvah, that's made mitzvah. Bahatanya, we learn the Braisa, Ezu made mitzvah. He said, nobody to bury the dead person, is nobody to bury him. If he calls out and other people respond to him, he's not a mate mitzvah. So the Rush has two pshatim here. Look in the Rush around the sixth line. So the first pshat, he says, if the dead body could call out, relatives would answer, that's not a mate mitzvah, he says. Or v'yesh mafarshim korea kohen, if the surviving kohen calls out b'cherim olnuato lavo l'kavro b'chum gedolahi the mekohen yachol absorb them solo kovrim lo yitamalo. So the bottom line, it means if the kohen, in this case the son, could call out and get other people to bury this body, it says not a heter. So he says v'ha'it le'bra, and here he, back to the Gemara, he has a son. Where that line works out better with the first shot, like he's got the son, so it's there. But the bottom line, it means the son, even though there's not a lot of people around, but the son can go around, get money, and get somebody to bury him. So the Gemara says, so what's going to be? So the Gemara says, came in the Kazib Oracle, Kisha in the Kovrim Dami. So no, even though, like, even it's so difficult to find somebody, even with the money, so it still qualifies as a mate mitzvah. Okay, let's pause for a second. So Rav's halacha is that there's a Kohen is allowed to bury one of his close relatives, but he darshens out from the word laviv that it has to be a complete body. So if the body's missing the head, then the Kohen is not allowed to bury the body. And if it's a main mitzvah, that would be different. But that's the wild lach that we're saying so far. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Well, we're going to see. So let's take a look from the Gemara. There's going to be a lot of different shitot with this, okay? So the Gemara says, Meifei. So we ask Kasha now against Rav Chista from the following braisa. He says, La yitama. So it says, he says, Blacho toha b'tula shalawai tala ish la yitama. His sister was a b'tula ish b'tami. And you know, low alayinu, nobody should know this, but like if a Kohen has a sister who dies and the sister's married, so there's no heter for the Kohen to go to the funeral. People may not realize that all the time. There was a situation here. All right, anyway, but so I don't know about the widow, but if she's married, certainly not. Now it says here, Meifei la yitama lahu mitame beinu mitame leivoreha. So the Brisa says he can be mitame to his sister, but he can't be mitame to her limbs. Or he says l'tishenu mitame leivor menachai shlaviv. He can't be mitame in Abrachai. If a person chops off his father's arm, he can't be mitame himself to the arm, and certainly from the maid, he can't be mitame. Aval machzir hu al etzem kisaora. But the Braisa says he can be machzir al etzem kisaora. So we think the pshat in the Braisa is that, in other words, a Kohen can't be mitame for the Evarim of his sister, his father, anybody that, whether it's from the Chai, from the mace. But we think the Braisa is saying that if he handled the funeral already, and now he's going back to pick up a small piece of the body to rebury this part with the body, that he could do. So in my machzir al etzem kisora, etzem kisora is like a bone the size of a barley seed, smallest bone. Lav lemeimra di mechzar purta. Is it not saying this brisa that there's a heter for the kohen to bury the father, even if the father's body was missing something, and then he could bury this other piece, little piece of it later? So the Gemara says, lo, ahim Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, even says lo, in essence, it means this braisa does go against Rav Chista, but it's going to be machloka tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And Rav Chista is going to go like the Chachamim, and this braisa that says that the Kohen can be mitami to a mace, even though it's not a complete mace, this is going to go like the Chachamim. And this is going to go like the Rabbi Yehuda. He says, the Tanya, we learn in the braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, la yitama, that he can't be mitame to her in barim. It means you can't be mitame to her. It means in the same way that we said before, we're burying the father, and now you found there's another aver. You can go back and bury that father. That's going on the same wavelength as the previous brisa. And now the Gemara says, it's a machloket tanaim, which we're teasing out now. The last two brises follow the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Tana Rebbe Yehuda says that a Kohen could be mitame to a mace, even though it's missing parts of it. Against what Rav Chista is saying, because Rav Chista is going to go like the Chachamim who dispute Rebbe Yehuda, which we have not come to yet. Okay, so the Gemara says, Bahatanya, and we learn the brisa, he says, Rav Kahana, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, Rav Kahana taught this following brisa that was with the Tana Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. So Mishnah Rav Lezer ben Yaakov is Kav and Akida, few, but they're very good, they're very powerful. So the Gemara is bringing this in because they think that Rav Chista wouldn't oppose it. La yitama be'in mitame le'ivarim. The person can't be mitame to the ivarim, the Kohen can't, the ivarim. Prat l'kizayit minameid, he can't be mitame to a kizayit minameid, the size of an olive of the flesh. Kizayit netzel, netzel is like part of the body that's like liquefying, that's, putrefying. He says, umlo tarbad rekev, or like a ladle full of like corpse dust. Yechol, or yitame the shidra l'gulgolet. But I might have thought that the Kohen can't be mitame to a shidra, is the spine, l'gulgolet, and the skull. Ulerov binyana, where most of the binyan of the structure, like the rov binyan, is like the main bones. He says, ulerov binyana, or most the number of bones. Ti b'yamar talihem, this extra verbiage, so he says the Torah is saying that you can also be mitame for those things. I might think for the sister he could, but for other relatives not. Just like the sister is dependent on the Kohen to bury him. When Mitame the Shidral Golar Opinina, the Rope Binina, he could be Mitame if you have the spine and the skull. Or the Rope Binina, the Rope Binina is like the pelvis and you have an important part of legs and things like that. Rope Binina, most of the bones. Of course, Shidupo Tabuibo, any relative that's relying on him is going to bury them. Mitame the Shidral Golar Opinina, the Rope Binina. So the Gemara says, Hinami Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, that price is a problem for Rav Chisid, it's also Rabbi Yehuda. So we scored three brises, that's also Rabbi Yehuda. Three brises going like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rav, when he said Rav, means Rav Chisid was quoting Rav. The Rav, the Amar Ki Aitana, Rav Chisid, the name of Rav, is going like the following Tana. The Tanya, we learned in the brisa, Ma'asa Shemin Aviv Shem Rabbi Yitzchak begins it. It was an incident that the father of Rabbi Yitzchak on the side got Tzadok HaKohen, but either way, whether it's Rabbi Yitzchak Beginzik or it's Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, this person's a Kohen. They came and told him after 3 years that his father was buried in Ginzik. He says, Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha of Arbaz Kainim Shimo, came to ask them whether he could reinter the cadaver in Eretz Yisrael. So now after 3 years, the cadaver is much less than it was originally, so it's chaser. Ba'amru, la'aviv, it's manshu shalem, lo b'smanshu chaser. So they said to him that it's got to be a complete body. It can't be a chaser body. All right, now let me just say some things on this, and then we'll take care of it. And if you look at the top Tosfos, it says, "Ubelbo diu lachar shoshanim shal Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha zekeno shayyam rotzel kavro b'kibrei mutava amar lo la'aviv is banshu shalein." Now zekeno would be his grandfather. Let me just take a look where the aleph is here. One second. Oh no, he says, "Shal Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha was zekenim." One second. Oh, not Uzakanim. It's not Sakaba, Uzakanim. Okay, now let me just say a few things and then we'll talk. Now he's got here a piece. Okay, now we said that a Kohen is permitted to defile himself only true shalem, low true kaser. The interpretation of kaser, a deficient body, is unclear, thus lending itself to the following dispute. Rabbeinu Yechiel maintains kaser refers to a deficiency of a vital limb or organ, one which is essential to a person's survival. The Kolbo asserts that even if a person is missing a small bone, the size of barley is considered chaser. Moreover, the Kolbo asserts that any person who is murdered is considered chaser, possibly due to the loss of blood because of the injury he sustained. The Ramban asserts that a person who sustained an injury, lost a limb, or had an organ removed during his lifetime is not considered chaser. The meaning of the drasha shalem lo chaser is that the coin is permitted to defile himself to his relative is applicable only as long as no change occurred to the corpse after or during death, he says. However, changes that occurred to his body during his lifetime are not relevant. That's a big, important kula. He says, the Kolbo disagrees and maintains that even a person who lost a limb or sustained a defect during his life is called a chaser. Rav Chisda, Mem Gimel Beis, says that the head of a Kohen's father was cut off, some may not bury his father if others are available because the corpse is chaser. The Rav Azeah said, if every murder victim is considered chaser, as the Kobo suggests, why does Rav Chisda speak of a person who is decapitated? Rav Chisda indicates that a murder victim is not considered chaser unless the victim was decapitated or lost another limb. In other words, the Rav Azeah is saying, if any murder victim is chaser, why is Gemara Dafka give somebody whose head got chopped off? Why not have it like a little simpler, like he got stabbed or something like that? So the Rav Azeah also asks that the loss of limb during one's lifetime renders him a chaser. Why does Rav Chisda speak of a man whose head was cut off causing his death, rather than a man who lost a finger or some other minor limb? This Gemara is teaching that when a man is decapitated, since they're chaser, even though he was living when he received the blow, because we can assume that he died prior to or during the decapitation, not afterwards. However, if a man's foot was cut off and he dies a while later, he's not considered chaser, and his son may bury him, since his defect occurred prior to his death. You know, I thought that he was decapitated, the head is not around. Does it mean even if the head is around, he's a chaser? You know? Let me just think of what the article said about this. No. In other words, it could be that the Gemara is saying, let me just see what he says here.
I
thought it could be. It may be that even if it's around, maybe that it's chaser. Yeah. Maybe that way. Goodness. Okay, now he says like this. The Maharam Shik postulates that only a visible deficiency renders one a chaser, such as a missing limb. However, if a Kohen had an organ removed, whether during his lifetime or after death, he's not considered chaser, and his children may attend his burial. Note, the Shulchan Aruch says, now, this is very tricky. See, Kohenim have a lot of dinim, and if you really are careful with them, it's life gets, it's a lot of different, you know, like we saw already about even going to the ghost age, the, like, you know, like Rahman al-Slan, Kohen's, you know, somebody, you know, parent can be very ill, they could be at home, but there could be an issue about the Kohen. Wait. Oh, for the parent, right? For the parent, you could, right. But somebody else could be right dying, really. Like it could even be his sister. It could be his married sister, something like that. Anyway, now. All right. You mean if the doctors are going? Yeah. How he got to be a doctor is also a question. Now, the Shulchan Aruch cites two opinions as to whether a Kohen is permitted to attend the funeral of a relative and defile himself, even if he's not assisting in the burial. He's getting into something else a little bit different here. This is a trickier thing. So is a Kohen allowed to go to a funeral where he is not actively involved in taking care of the burial of the dead? So the Rama rules that a Kohen should conduct himself according to the more stringent view and refrain from defiling himself to a relative unless he's tending to his burial needs. This, if you do like this sheet, this Rama, then Kohenim are in deep trouble. But he puts in the footnotes. Let me get the halakha and shofar for this. See, this is very difficult if you're a Kohen and you really have all these demons. Shinai and Gimel Hay. Let me see. Shinai and Gimel Hay. One second. Yeah. So the Mechaber says like this. He says, "Well, Elu Shemitami Bahem." This is talking about the Kohenim. All the people who said that the Kohen could be Mitami for Apilu Shalom Thorah, even if his assistance is not necessary, to Mitami them. The Yeshurim the doctor the Thorah. Some saying, no, the Kohen can only be Mitami if it's a close relative and it's the Thorah. He's taking care of the mace. He says, "Hagah the Sfari Shona." According to the first Svara, even if somebody died on Shabbos, you can be mitame to him. But the Rama says it's correct to be stringent like the second opinion. Very difficult if you do like that way. So if you do like the Rama is saying, then the Kohenim B'Zmanazeh really can't go to funerals because they're not involved in, you know, bringing the Aron, the Tachrifim, or things like that. So then it gets very difficult. All right, now. Yeah. So what are you going to do? Anyway. All right, now. 1 minute. Okay, now he's got a little piece here. You know, maybe I'll do this piece first, then we have time, we'll do the other piece. Okay. Now, Rav Chis, the name of Rav, teaches that Kohen is not permitted to become Tamei for his father, who passed away if his father is not a complete example, his head was severed from his body. The Shulchan Aruch cites this ruling, and as there is an opinion that maintains that this ruling only applies when the limb was severed from the body after the deceased died. But if the limb was severed before the deceased died, the son is permitted to become Tamei for him, even though when he died, he was not complete. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about a Kohen who during his lifetime had internal surgery and as a result of his surgery was missing some internal organs. The son of this Kohen wanted to know whether it is permitted for him to become Tamei for his father when he dies, since his body is only complete. You could think, you know, it could be like even like maybe appendectomy or like kidney donation or a million things can happen. So he says here, Rav Moshe Feinstein replied that since the organ was removed during the father's lifetime, is certainly permitted according to the view cited in Shulchan Aruch that organs severed during one's lifetime do not render a person incomplete. We went through all the different opinions. That's one opinion. But you see, with this chassid, you're already getting into issues. Furthermore, even those poskim who hold that the loss of a limb renders a person incomplete, even if it took place during one's lifetime, would agree that in this case, a son could become Tamei for his father. The reason is the ruling of Shulchan Aruch is limited to loss of external limbs, but loss of internal organs does not render the body incomplete. So we saw this before, that in what is chaser, maybe it only means, you know, if right, it looks like visible, like the finger is chopped off, not if like the kidney is removed. Now, he says, Rav Shmuel Levi Vosner, the Shevet Levi, disagrees with this distinction and writes that a simple reading of the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch indicates that there is no reason to distinguish between internal and external organs. So he's slugging it up, Rav Osner. Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halakot, also wrote that missing internal organs renders the body incomplete and claims that Rav Moshe Feinstein told him that he retracted his opinion. An interesting connected question relates to whether a Kohen who died in surgery and lost some blood subsequent to his death is considered incomplete or not. Like, what if the loss of blood? So when you get into all these details, it becomes very difficult if you're a Kohen to handle all these things. Like, there's so many chumras here, you know, anyway, but that's a piece with that. Okay, now, he's got a piece here about keeping teeth. You know, what do you have to do in terms of, in terms of burial? All right, we'll see in a minute. Okay, so he mentions that there's a mitzvah component to Mitame the Oseg with the seven krovim. And then we quoted from Rabbi Yehuda Asher pointing to Mitame for an aver that was cut off from his father. Okay, please just one minute. Noah, just give me 1 minute, okay? Okay, so he says, from the sugya, Rav Moshe proves that there's a mitzvah to bury the aver that's been cut off from a living person. He says, not like the opinion of the Noda Behuda. The whole heter, the Torah gives for a coin to be mitame for the seven krovim, is to be involved in their kura, as though chiyuv to be kover aver menachai. Why does the Torah ask for the coin to be mitame for aver menachai? The mitzvah is the kavro, the alchemist of Shatola, sora la coin li tame la aver zeh. In other words, he says, if the Torah is saying, if the Torah is admonishing the Kohen not to be tummy to the Aver, he must say that's a Sima, that there's a thief to bury the Aver. Anyway, he's got more about this thing. I'm going to leave it. Okay, now, let me just end the recording. That'll be it. 1 second. Oh, by the way, Daniel asked me before, I didn't get to it. You said, right, it's true. The Kohenim are all tummy, but we take it that they're not allowed to continue to be mitame to other situations. Okay, now, let me just, we're not this.